Today, I'd like to continue a series that we've been in. We're talking about money in the kingdom of God. And today, I want to talk about almsgiving. Because we've been talking about how in the kingdom of God, money makes a difference. We grow in faith by how we use our money. And we want to honor God with our money. So I'd like to just have you look with me at this. There's a verse. Would you read this verse with me? It's from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Let's do it together. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. In an agricultural society, that was a great promise. You honor God and God blesses you. Today, we're not in that agricultural society. That's okay. It still works the same way. If you honor God with your money, God will then bless you in your life. We need to remember that God owns everything and He's given us the opportunity to be stewards of the resources He's given. We use it for the needs of our lives, and we also use it to reach out and minister for the kingdom, to use it for how God directs in the kingdom. So He wants us being faithful stewards in that. And one of the reasons we do all that is because money is very dangerous. Here's six things that money can do to you. You don't think about that, but the Bible's really clear. Money can enslave you. Oh, come on. Yeah. It can become a master to you where it runs your life. Money can cause you to stray from the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that? He's clear on that. Money can cause you to not trust God. Money's pretty powerful. It can do all that. It can lure you to want more and more and more. I've seen that happen. In fact, I just think it's all the storage units that people have that just shows that's part of our lifestyle, right? People just have more and more and more and more and more. They don't need it, but they just have it. It will keep you from the kingdom of God. Do you remember what Jesus said? If a camel, big animal, can get through the eye of the needle, ridiculous illustration, but He did it for ridiculous reasons. He wanted to show you how impossible it was. So it's impossible for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's pretty major. Especially since we're in the top percentages of the world's wealthy people, even though we don't feel wealthy, but that's true. And it can choke out the Word of God from us. You'll be reading that in the passage for tomorrow, I think, that it can actually, money can make it so you can't get anything from God. You know how powerful money is. Very dangerous. Therefore, we need to be protected from that danger. And the way we can become protected from that danger is we do what God says about it. One of the things He told us is to be stewardship and use our money wisely. And one of the ways we do that is by tithing. What's a tenth? It depends how much you're dealing with for the hundred, isn't it? What's the tenth of a dollar? So if you work and you get a dollar, what would you give to the Lord if you're tithing? 10 cents, that's right. How often? Every time you get a dollar, right? When Brittany was a little girl, she came to me and she asked me to break some money for her because she had, I think, a $10. But she'd gotten some money babysitting. And so I think it was a 10. Let's say it was a 10. And so I gave her some one. So she took that and she came to church and she put that in the offering because she knew she needed a tithe, right? Well, she didn't work the next week, but she came and she was bringing money to bring in on what was left of the $9. So she's wanting me to break it again. Well, I appreciate the heart, but that, you know, that's because that was just wanting to do what God said. But the fact is you do it the one time on that. Reason is 10% is enough for you to know about it. Do you know that? I mean, you know 10% is going up. If you do less than that, you don't really miss it. But 10% is enough for you to know that. And the reason we tithe is because what God says. God said this in Deuteronomy. He said, "You shall tithe all the increase of your grain of the field that the field produces year by year, and you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where He chooses to make His name abide. The tithe of your grain and the new wine and your oil of the firstborn of your herds and of your flocks." And here's the reason. That you may learn the fear of the Lord your God always. If you're constantly involved in that, one of the things you'll learn is how great God is. The fear of the Lord isn't that you're scared of Him. It's that you see His awesomeness. How wonderful He is. See, if you don't do this, you miss that. Let me tell you why. When you give, it honors God because you're saying, "Lord, I recognize that You own everything and I'm doing this because I really love You." Do we have to do it? No. We're going to be going to heaven because Jesus died for us. You don't tithe to get into heaven. That's not part of it. But if you tithe, then you get to honor God with everything. It shows forth my love for the Lord. It really does, because I'm going to go, Lord, I love you, and I want to just give this back. You talked about it in the Old Testament, so I'd like to join in that. It's a way to receive blessings from the Lord, because He says if we tithe, He'll give back to us a lot more. Sometimes 20% more, sometimes 50% more. He just gives back. He's good about that. It's a way to receive His protection from the devourer. In fact, He said in Malachi, He said, if you tithe, then it's going to come back so much you can't hold it. And the other part was, He's going to protect your stuff from Satan beating it up, eating it up. And it just happens all the time in people's lives who walk with God, that God protects them from all those things. It brings consistency in giving, and that's a great gateway to being involved in really offerings for the Lord. Because if you're tithing, that's really like kindergarten. Tithing in the whole area of the Christian life, that's like a tricycle is to a car. Because it's the first step. It's the first thing. But we want to talk about the other parts of giving, and there's two others. The first one we're going to talk about is this one of giving to the poor. It's called giving alms. Can you say alms?
Alms.
That's a weird sounding name, isn't it? It's from old English, and other languages come in. But it basically means giving to the poor. And it's using God's resources that He's given you to give to the poor. Jesus said one time in Matthew's Gospel, He says, take heed that you do not your charitable deeds, and in some translations it's alms is used for that, charitable deeds, before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Now, whenever you see the word take heed, you know what that means? Caution. Wake up. Be careful. See, a lot of times we read that passage in Matthew, I'm not doing that. But Jesus said, caution. Make sure that you're not doing things to be seen by people. Do you know how easy it is to step into that? I mean, you just go do something and you're not really doing it because you love the Lord and love the person. You're doing it because you want the exposure. You want people to know about it. Ride around any university, you'll see people who wanted people to know about it. You know how I know? Their names are on the building. You know? You go into any churches, you know what you find in churches?
Names on the pews.
Yeah, names on the pews. They had organ donors, you know, that gave organs. And there's a whole lot of things that you just, and people's names are there because they want to have their name. And you know what Jesus says? He says they've already got their reward. You know what their reward was? People knowing about it. And it's real sad, though, that can even creep into our lives. You need to be careful so that you're not doing anything to try and show off before people. You need to do it for the proper reasons. And the verse continues, therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Or surely I say to you, they have received their reward. You got the idea? You grab attention to people. Hey, so-and-so is going to be given right now. Watch. Or, guess what? How much he's given? Let's look at this. This is great. He gave this much money. The Lord said He doesn't want us doing that. He wants us doing it another way. He says, but when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. So what, do you have a lobotomy or something? How do you do that? Well, basically, he's talking in hyperbole. You know hyperbole? Hyperbole is exaggeration to make a point. And he's talking here with hyperbole. What he's basically saying is, don't make a show of it. Make it so it's very discretionary. And that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will Himself, who's going to do it? Who's going to reward you? God will reward you openly. So you don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. See, Jesus expected us to do it. He said, but when you do a charitable deed, it's not if. Did you catch that? It's when you do it. And then He said, don't do this thing. Be very discretionary. Show a lot of discretion. Don't let other people... Why would God say that? Well, you know, God really cares for the poor. He doesn't want them embarrassed. He doesn't want them abused. He doesn't want them counted before people so that people know their business. He wants us to be very careful with that because He counts them very high. And then the last part of this is, and your Father who sees in secret will Himself reward you openly. I think that's great. You sometimes see people that just get stuff. And they just, God just blesses them and blesses them and blesses them. And have you ever seen that? And you wonder, why are they doing so much? Why is that happening so much in their lives and it's not happening? Well, you don't know what they've been doing. You know what the Lord says? If you do it in private, well, how is He going to do it? So other people know what's going on. See, God really wants us to care for the poor. In Deuteronomy, this is back in the Old Testament, God's setting up plans for when they go into the land. He said, there will never cease to be poor in the land. Therefore, I command you, you shall open wide your hand to your brother, to the needy, to the poor in your land. And you help them out. That's what He told them in the Old Testament days. You help them. He even said this in the Old Testament. In Leviticus chapter 19, He said, when you reap your harvest, the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. That means you don't go in and wipe everything out. You leave portions. In fact, they left it corners all around. They didn't cut that. They left it for people who were poor. He also said likewise, and you shall not glean your vineyard. You shall gather nor shall you gather every grape of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. So He said, you leave some for the people. It's really interesting how you can take that over into our day. There are several people who have gleanings that they have for other people who have needs. That's where they have excess things, you know, where they run into stuff. I'm going to use you. Can I do that? One of the things Mark does in his business is he takes down stuff that's metal and puts up stuff that's metal, but he's got all this stuff that's metal. And he's got to get rid of it. Now, he could take it and throw it in a dump and it'd be gone. Or, he could take it out to D.H. Griffith and get money. You know, they actually pay for metal out there. Or, you know what he does? He calls a brother and says, I've got a load. And the brother comes out and picks it up and takes it. And he uses the gleanings that Mark has there to supplement his income. We can do that. And there are a lot of people that need us to do that. So we have to figure out how that'll work. You have to pray about it and ask God, but God can give you ideas of how you can do that. And you know what happens if you do that? You get blessed. If you do that, God will bless you. There was a lady who went and got the gleanings of a field of a man named Boaz. You know what happened because of him leaving some around? Well, he got to meet her, and eventually he married her, and not only did he marry her, they had a child. The child's name was Obed. Are you glad you're not named Obed? Obed. And Obed, it's kind of neat because Boaz, who married Ruth, well, Boaz begot Obed, and Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot King David. So that means his great-grandson was king of Israel. Is that a blessing? You know how it came about? Because he was obedient to what God said. And God blessed him. Now, let me ask you a question. Who are the poor people? How do you judge whether a person's poor or not? Well, in any society, it's people who do not have adequate food, who do not have adequate clothing, who do not have adequate shelter. That's a poor person. People who are just not having their needs met. That's who they are. And what should we think towards the poor? Well, the Scripture tells us that we're to have compassion for them. And you just don't have compassion. You just don't have feelings. You also do something about those feelings. You put that into action and you help them. Jesus saw people who were sick. You remember that? And it says, and He had compassion. He just didn't go, you poor people. I feel so bad for you. Well, I've got to get out of here. See you later. You know what He did? He touched them and healed them. He did something. So we're to do something for people that are poor. In the Scriptures, James says in chapter 2, verse 14, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one says to them, depart in peace, be warmed, be filled, but you not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? A lot of people are that way. They see a need, and they go, oh, okay, so, ta-da. James continues and says, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. It's sad to say, there are a lot of Christians that got dead faith. They just don't do anything. They just sit back. Because they don't understand. They don't understand. Do you understand what you get according to the Scriptures if you're involved in helping the poor? Let me run down a couple of places for you. There's several in the Scriptures. Look at Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. He who has pity on the poor. And that doesn't mean, whenever those words are used there, it doesn't just mean you go, oh, I'm feeling so bad for them. It means you do something about it. It always was the idea, if you have it, you do something. Right? It's sort of like faith. If you have faith, you know what happens? You do something. And so it is here. You do something. He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord. Isn't that kind of neat? I loaned the Lord some money the other day. You ever loan money to the Lord? Do you think when you loan something to somebody, you expect them to pay it back? You think He'll pay it back? You don't? Yes, of course you do. And if you do it in secret, how does He pay you back? Yeah. So you see, the Scripture says, he who lends the Lord, and he, that's the Lord, will pay it back what he has given. So when you give to the poor, when you do that, the Lord just sees that as money he's going to just provide right back for you. Now, sometimes it doesn't come in money. I remember one time a guy was given to the Lord, and he was upset with me because he said, you said this is going to happen, and I hadn't gotten any money back. And I said, really? You told me that your transmission went out, and a guy put in a new transmission and charged you $300 for the transmission, and because he had one sitting around, he just did it for $300. Just the piece alone cost over $1,000. Then you got to work to get it in. You told me that you got special coupons that were given to you by a guy at work, and those coupons you were able to go with your wife out, and you're going to be able to go out to a meal and not pay anything in a restaurant 10 different times. What do you mean you're not getting stuff? You see, so God doesn't necessarily just have it come in your mailbox. So sometimes that happens. When I was growing up, we had needs. I guess everybody runs in those times when you have needs. And I was growing up, and my dad was out of work for 18 months right after he became a Christian. And his business, it went belly up, and it was a rough time. Mom used to buy me pants that were like 6 inches too long because I was growing at the time. And I put on the pants, and I'd have cuffs that were this high on my pants because, you know, they couldn't afford to buy me another set as much as I was growing right then. It's kind of embarrassing to go to school. That was not a fashionable trend in the day, and I was really out of fashion. But anyway, but what happened to us so many times was they would go to the mailbox, and all of a sudden they'd find an envelope in it, and there'd be money. And God provided money after money after money. So much so that the people in the neighborhood called it a magic mailbox. Because we just had money coming all the time. After something like a decade, my dad got a tax return from the government where they said he paid too much. Can you imagine? God pays it back. The second thing he says, for those who are helping the poor, he says, he who despises his neighbor sins, but he who has mercy on the poor, happy. Do you want to be happy? You want to be happy? One of the ways that's generated is by you doing something for somebody that has need. God's worked that into our bodies, into our brains, into the human condition, so that when you give, there's something that happens on the inside of you, and it feels good. That's why a lot of these people that have billions of dollars are doing philanthropy things. You know why they do it? Sometimes it's for show, because they want their name on buildings. But, you know, after a while, after you've got 100 buildings with your name on it, that isn't exciting anymore. You know what's exciting? doing the things for people. Even the unsaved people understand that. He who gives to the poor will not lack. How would you like to have a situation in your life where there's no lack coming? Would you like to have that? The Scripture says, if you give... Now, I didn't write this. You understand that? I'm just putting it up here. He who gives to the poor will not lack. But he who hides his eyes will have many curses. So you need to give. You know, hide his eyes. Again, he's using a figure of speech. When you look away, so you're not going to do anything. That's the concept. Why do we help the poor? Well, I just want to look at this psalm. I'm going to just give you the first three verses of Psalm 4. Great psalm. Listen to what this psalm says. Blessed is he who considers the poor. Now, you understand considers, and we've talked about that. That's the James saying, it's where you're doing stuff. It's where you just go, okay, I think I know some poor people. It's where you're doing something to help poor people. You got that? Shake your head like this if you do. Okay. Blessed is he who considers the poor. Here are the blessings that come. Here's the first one. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Do you think you're going to have any trouble in your life ever? Yeah. Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation. Job said, as sure as the sparks fly upward from a fire, man's made for trouble. When those times come, God will deliver you if you help the poor. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. If you're involved in helping, the Lord's going to protect your life. One time Cindy was driving the car. She's on her own battleground. And she's getting ready to turn into, I don't know, was it the hardware store over there? Was it Fleet Plumber Hardware? She was getting ready to turn off battleground on that, and she had to cross traffic to turn there. There's a hill that's right there, right before you come over that. And so she had turned, and she pushed on the gas on the accelerator, and nothing happened. Nothing took place. It just, the motor ran, but then it was like it was in neutral. And all of a sudden, the car comes flying over the hill, and if she had turned, she'd have been hit right by the car. As soon as the car passed, the wheels engaged, and she was able to go. I don't know what happened, but I tell you what, we think that the Lord preserved her. You know, I think we get to heaven and watch the Blu-ray of it. We'll probably see he sent one of his angels down. He just picked up the rear. No, was it front wheel? I guess it was front wheel drive. Picked up the front of it and just lifted it up a little bit so it wouldn't get any traction, and then just set it back down again so she could go. Because the Lord protects us. There was no reason. Why would that happen? God does things we can't understand. He will be blessed on the earth. Now, I expect by the grace of God to be blessed when I get to heaven. But guess what? If you help the poor, you get blessed here. And you know what blessing means? It just it's that concept where God takes care of all the needs of your life. He's going to bless you. Things will be good for you. He will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. Do you have enemies? I try not to have enemies, but you can't get away with that if you're a believer and you walk with the Lord. And some people are just not going to like you because of that. And so the Lord won't deliver me over to those people. The Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness. How would you like to have help when you get sick? If you're regularly helping the poor, God promises he's going to do that. Not only that, he goes and says, and you will sustain him on his sick bed. That's the New King James translation. I don't like the way they translate this word sustained. In the Hebrew language, the word that's used there is hafak. And it means to overturn or to turn it around. And so the verse would go, the Lord supports him on his sickbed and completely heals him, turns it around, turns the sickness around from his illness. Isn't that kind of neat? You know? And that's what Jesus did, right? People went to Jesus carrying on a bed. They were brought in on a bed and they leave carrying the bed with them. It gets turned around. Total turnaround in that situation. So the Lord does that for those of us. That's a neat verse, don't you think? Neat passage. Now, what are the requirements? What's the requirement for doing this? Well, the first thing you need to do is find out if they're believers. You know why? Because our first help goes to believers. You notice the passage we looked in James. If a brother or sister is naked, destitute of daily food, if that's a brother or a sister, we help them first. We always go to the brothers and sisters first. Now, there are a lot of people that have needs, right? There's a world of them. All you got to do is cut on television. You'll see. I mean, I really feel for the families that have been hurt during the Israeli hit with Hamas. All that stuff that's been going on. Because, you know, while there are governments that are doing stuff, there are people who are pretty innocent. Children that aren't really making decisions on that are in that and caught in the trap of it. And there's a lot of problems. There are just terrible situations going on all over the world. We help brothers and sisters first. That's what he says. I've been looking to see how could I possibly get food up to those Christians, get things up to those Christians that are in Iraq that are just trying to get out of the harm's way from a group of people that want to murder them. You know, I've been praying for them, and I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to help. But we help out with people who are hurting, and we help Christians first. Go to Christians first. Why is that? Is that selfish? No, that's not selfish. We're supposed to help the family of God first. We help them. Do we also help other people? Sure. But first, we help believers. That was God's plan. Then we find out, what's your family doing? The Scripture says in James, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is to visit orphans and widows in their trouble. What's the big thing about orphans and widows? They don't have anybody else. They don't have anybody else to call on. They don't have a daddy. They don't have a mommy. They don't have a husband. They don't have means to do things. And so if they're in a situation where they don't have means, they become a major responsibility for us. We help them. Are they willing to work? I see a lot of people, they fly a sign on the corner, "We'll work for food." And you stop and say, "Would you like a job?" "Nope." Why do you have a sign that says that? Because they won't work. I have a friend, his name's John Johnson, and John was homeless for a decade. And John has told me about the people that are up there flying the signs. Many of them live in communities and tent communities. Many of them leave there and go get in a car and go somewhere else. Many of them have different provisions, and they're doing this because they can make up to $300, $300 to $600 a day. In Christmas time, it's easy, $600 a day. And they just stand on the street corner. You know, they have to be registered with the city, don't you? They have to have a badge that says they're registered to be able to ask for money there. So they've taken this on as their job. You know, I know one guy was standing on the corner, and right behind him was a store, and the store said, "Help wanted." You know? Now, I'm not saying you never give to people like this, but you better ask God what to do. Do you understand that? Shake your head like this. That's what you always are. You need to ask God, what am I supposed to do here? How do I handle this? Because some of these people need a touch, but some people are not going to budge, and you're just going to be funding their sinful activities. So you need to pray and ask God to help. And ask God, what do you do in those particular situations? But one of the Scriptures is very clear in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. If they're not willing to work, they don't eat. And that doesn't matter who it is. If my children did not work. I don't mean when they're little at the house, okay? So I'm not going to make sure you understand that. I'm talking about as they grow up and as they're doing things. If they wouldn't work, then guess what? You ought to be where they don't eat. Because when you get hungry, guess what you want to start doing? Working so you can get some money so you can go eat. I mean, that's the purpose for that. So we need to be careful of that. And as we do it, we also want to do it in love. Paul wrote these words. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not, but do not have love, I become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. He continues in the passage. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, but have not love, I'm nothing. You know what needs to be the compassion with which we give? Love. We do it, why? Because we love the people and we love our Lord, and we're going to do because the Lord said to give. So it needs to be done in love. And notice Jesus said that. Why were those men in the temple doing this? Because they were wanting to show. right? They were wanting to be a show-off. But the Lord doesn't want show-offs. He wants people who are doing it because of love. Well, giving is also, when we do it left hand, not in the right hand, it's to be discreet. And the reason is because God really cares for the individuals. You know what God said in the Old Testament? He said, if you need to loan a person some money and they give you some collateral, and they can't come through and give you the money back, then what becomes yours? The collateral, right. Guess what she says about that? You're supposed to go to their house and they bring it out to you. You don't dare go into their house and get it. They bring it to you. And you have it. But what if it's a coat? You know what the Lord says? If it's a coat, guess what you have to do in the evening? Take it back to them. Why? They didn't pay me. I know, but God has ways. He doesn't want to put down. He doesn't take people who are down and stomp them. That's not God's way. God wants to protect them. You see, if you're involved in giving money to people and you don't do it discreetly, every time they see you, you know what they're going to be feeling? It's kind of bad. So that's why when I find out people have needs, many times I give in a way that they don't know it came from me. Because I don't want them to know that. I've handled money for many of you that way, for people. Now, I give it to them. I know who gave it. They don't. They just thank God for it. Because God likes us doing things very discreetly and without people being misused. So, we give to those in need because our Heavenly Father has given to us in our need. Right? Shake your head yes. Haven't you done that? Therefore, giving the poor is acting like our Father in heaven. And we always seek the Lord when you're giving to the poor. We know go to brothers and sisters first. We need to help them as a priority. And then you help other people. And so God wants us to be involved in doing that. Well, the Scripture says that we're to give. Jesus said this one day, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. So God wants us to be doers of the word. He wants us to give to people that have needs. How do you do that? Well, you ask him, first of all. And then you see about doing it. There are a lot of organizations that you can be a part of that are Christian organizations. I don't give to just secular organizations because they use it for all kinds of different things. I give it to Christian organizations. My favorite one's on the top. Samaritan's Purse. Because the reason is they've been doing it for years and years and years and years. They have the contacts. They know how to go. They go into the churches and use the churches to move out and distribute things. And it's really, really good for that, and I like that. Do they just go and give it everywhere? No, they give it to the believers, and I like that. Because in some of the areas they go and give it to, if they give it to the other people are killing Christians. They hate Christians. I don't want to give them money. And so Samaritan's person said, Southern Baptist Relief does a great job, Salvation Army. Does well, Compassion International, the Tim Tebow Foundation, he's just started one. He had a lot of money and needed to do something with it, so he started helping people. He works basically in the Philippines. And so that's the way you can do it. You can give money that way and have them help out. But when you do it, you pray and you ask God to do it. What about if it's something that's local? What about if you find out a need with somebody around? I tell you what, I always ask the question, why am I knowing about this? Why did I find out about this and nobody else did? And many times it's because God wants me to do something. So whenever you hear about something or you see something, you know about it, you need to ask the question, why did I know about it and not other people? And ask the Lord, does that mean He wants you to get involved in doing something? Whose money is it in your pocket anyway? Yeah. You're a steward. Remember that. Okay? You're a steward. But everything belongs, you understand that? What doesn't belong to God? Nothing. Everything's His. We're a steward of His money. So we want to use it that way. So we need to be careful how we're doing it. Can I mention one more? My friend Billy Garen Paulus, he does children, has children in India. And for $125 a year, you can provide education for one of these kids that live dirt poor out in the area near where their training center is. And they provide them with a meal. For many of the children, that's the only meal they have during the day. They have rice for them, and they eat that. They provide them with clothes. They provide them with many of the kids run around naked because there's no clothes. And so to their 5 or 6, they're just running around with no clothes. It's not cold, so they don't need it for that, but they don't have any clothes because their families are too poor for them to have clothes. And so Billy provides them with clothes, provides them with food, provides them with an education, and most of these children will be the only people in their family who ever learn to read. And Billy's hoping that they will be able to move on and do some other things. So we can help. There's different ways we can do that. God wants us to use the Lord's resources in giving alms. It provides protection from the danger of money. It's one of the vehicles that does that. And it also projects the nature of our Heavenly Father, who reaches out to people in need with love and grace and care. So, that's what we do in using our possessions and our increase to bless the Lord. Well, let's have a word of prayer. Does that make sense? Okay. Do you know what to do? So next time you hear about somebody, before you go talking about other people, you need to say, is this something that I need to take care of? Because maybe it's something that God has for you and your family to do. And it'd be helpful if children know about that. And they can pray about it. And they can be involved. Put some money to it. It'll teach them about giving for their life because they need to have that established for their protection because money is dangerous. Well, thank you, Lord, for your word that gives us truth and helps us to understand how we're to operate in our world. We thank you for taking us when we didn't have anything, and giving to us the most marvelous gift anybody could ever give of salvation. And thank you, Lord, you allow us to act like you in reaching out to people who don't have things and need things desperately. And you've given us the great privilege to be able to be the answer to their prayer, to be the one who comes to help them, the one who sits back and doesn't take any glory, doesn't even let them know who's doing it, but just gives to them. And we thank you, you let us take part in that kind of a transaction. Thank you for letting us know, too, that any money we give like this, it's not wasted money. You'll give it right back to us. Not only will it meet the need, but you'll supply it right back to our lives. Thank you for that encouragement, Lord, because there are a lot of times we hesitate in giving. But we thank you, you've told us that if we give, you'll give back. We thank you for helping us to understand how to live in the kingdom of God as we operate in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.